everybody. It's Nicole Mendez. I'm the host of this podcast for the SEC, Diamond in the South. I want to welcome everybody. I'm going live. We're going live today. There's been too much going on in the world of softball the past 2 weeks. Sorry that I missed you guys last week, but I'm here now. We're doubling down and we're going to catch up on everything. But before we get started, I just want to remind you guys, make sure to like and subscribe, not just this podcast, but every single podcast on the Softball America Podcast Network. There's a lot out there. There's also another one that I do with my producer, Gray Robinson. It's called The Dirt. It's softball. It's non-softball related, but there's a bunch of podcasts within the network that you guys can check out. But in the meantime, make sure you like and subscribe to this one specifically. And don't be afraid to leave a comment. I do love some good comments. Fang already up here with a good evening, which I love. Good evening, Fang. I hope you're doing great. And as we get started and we get kicked off, if I see some comments, I'll go ahead and talk about them. That's what this live show is all about. But without further ado, let's get rolling. I want to talk about, obviously, the SEC, but what the heck has been going on in preseason? And I feel like every single time preseason rolls around, there's this moment where you jump on X and you're typing away and you're like, what the heck is going on with this pitching staff? What the heck is going on with this base running? And it gets a little crazy. It gets a little hectic. The biggest thing for me, if I am a fan, if I'm a viewer, as an analyst, whenever I'm watching a team, the things that I look out for is whenever it doesn't go well, how does that team react? Like, do they kind of turn away? Do they talk to each other? Because that is more so a team culture and chemistry thing than I'm shaking off the rust, I haven't fielded a ground ball in the dirt because of weather kind of thing. And that is huge. Annie says, happy softball, Roll Tide. Hey, Annie, how you doing? We are out here just talking about it. I'm going to get to the Crimson Tide here in a minute. But as we get rolling, the biggest things that I look for. So obviously how a team responds, that culture. But another thing, and this feels like, I don't know, I'm just getting, I feel this, I anticipate it. I don't know what it is. Call it a tingle in my fingers or whatever. But the biggest thing that I think we're going to see is a lot more small ball. And we're going to see a lot more stolen bases. You look at stolen base leaders across the country, Florida, they're leading the way. You have a lot of speed within the SEC. But the teams that really are chugging along, they have at least one that is, as soon as they get on, they have that speed to steal bases. They have that speed. They have that smart base running IQ, which I think is so important. But let's go ahead and get to hitting. So top three hitters as of yesterday, or as of the beginning of this week, heading into this weekend, it was a lot. And I feel like Clearwater is always this big slugfest, right? You're going to get the big guns. You're going to get the big swings. Georgia, as a team, they're batting 378. They're like so close to 400. Their bats have been just popping off. And I love that for them. Because whenever you're a team and you have that kind of batting average, it tells me that it's not just one person producing. It is a full team effort. It's a stacked lineup. Next one we have with 337, LSU. We know that their offense is a little bit more seasoned and they have that experience. They lost some experience, but they brought some in, and there's been a lot of people. Danica Coffey is somebody that I think of whenever I think of LSU, but that's not who I'm going to highlight here in a minute. And then last but not least, my third one on the list, Arkansas hitting 372. So all these teams are kind of getting creeping closer and closer to that 400 mark. That's pretty dang good. And for me, those are the top three teams where as an offense, you're like, okay, they got something going on. There's something rolling. So with Georgia, I would say the person to look out for is Jaden Goodwin. This is her slugging percentage. She is slugging 893. Just being able to have that much power and just being able to be that impactful as a hitter, having that in your offense, I mean, that's exactly why you're able to balance out that lineup is not everybody's just going to pitch to that one person. You have to avoid it. And whenever you do, whenever you try to avoid Jaden, you run into so many other hitters in that Georgia lineup that are just equally as dangerous. For LSU, I would say Tori Edwards. She's the one that really stands out to me. Again, a really high slugging percentage, 871, just very versatile, a lot of power, a lot of strength that comes from her swing. And she's been clutch in clutch moments. And that, to me, I mean, I'm very much I want to see the numbers, but I think even more than that, I want to see whenever the game's on the line, whenever the moment's tight, I always look, who's the spark plug? Who's the person that gets things going? And for me, I think it's Tori Edwards. She's the one that makes that momentum happen. Now, Arkansas, I am a little biased because I just called two of their games earlier today. I'm calling the Mary Nutter Collegiate Classic this weekend. I have so many games that have been so good, but I got to call two of Arkansas's games. You guys, they're on 7 run rules in a row. Talk about just like a monster smash. 2 games in and they're ready at 20 runs. They ran up the score quite literally. 20 runs and only gave up 1. They're just cruising through. And Bree Ellis, obviously, she was a national player of the week. She was a co-SEC player of the week. She has been phenomenal. She has a 1.583 slugging percentage. She's off the charts. I mean, that is such a crazy jump from the second most. Bree Ellis has been her. She is her. And I think Arkansas right now, I saw the passing of the bat, and I loved that about them. So I have them as 3 right now, but I have a feeling after this weekend, they're going to go up a little bit, at least in my index screen. Always a big fan of DJ Gasso. So I think that their stock is going to go up in my eyes. As far as pitching goes, Tennessee, they lead the conference with a 0.75 ERA. And this is, again, at the start of this week. So being able to go out and dominate, obviously you have Carlin Pickens, but there are so many, I think I've been watching, so many pitchers that whenever it comes time to go out and attack, there's a lot of nibbling going on. And I get it. I've been there. You have to go through preseason. There has to be this give and take kind of moment where, all right, like I got to figure it out. It's preseason. There's time that I have to figure out what it looks like to pitch to a live at bat. I have to figure out what it looks like to pitch to this umpire, that umpire. But the biggest thing that I have been loving is those pitchers that have been going right at it. Their first pitch rates are great. Their conversion rates are great. And they're not afraid to throw back-to-back pitches in the same spot. Now, I don't think they should be predictable and stay there, but they are, in a way, almost unpredictable because they'll go there twice. A changeup twice, a rise ball twice. But just getting those hitters to feel off balance by going at them. LSU with a 0.78, they come in as my number 2. That pitching staff has been really fun to watch. Just a plethora of perfect games, dominance, strikeouts. I mean, you name it. And LSU, their pitching staff has done it. Very, very impressed with them. I'm really curious as season goes on, as arms get tired, what does that look like for LSU? And do they have the depth? South Carolina, they're my 3rd with a 1.25 ERA. They've just been effective. They are the 3rd lowest ERA in the SEC at the beginning of this week. They have been going out, just quietly getting their stuff done. Their offense hasn't quite clicked around yet, but their pitching's been pretty good. I'm a fan of it. You guys are a fan of it. We're all a fan of it. As far as this weekend goes, it's already kind of gotten started, but I'll go ahead and start. There was a huge matchup, and that was Tennessee versus Oregon. Now, in my head, whenever I was writing this down, I was like, oh, we have a little bit of East Coast, West Coast. We have that, you know, SEC versus Pac. And then I was like, the conference is gone. They're Big Ten now. But the Tennessee versus Oregon game, that was an absolute battle. I mean, it's a 1-0 game. Tennessee ended up dropping the ball. But again, you look back at their ERA, 0.75, they keep the runs to a minimum. And so that's more of an offensive thing. But that was a really fun game. If you guys get the chance, go hop on to Flow Softball. make sure you guys go check it out. That was a really fun game, and I would recommend going back and looking at it. Tonight, right now, at this time, we have Mizzou and UCLA playing, 7 p.m. Central Time, and that one I'm really curious about. I have this, I told Gray this, my producer, and we were texting, and I was saying, I have this feeling that it's gonna be, I don't know, it's gonna be Missouri's year. Like, there's something about them that I like. And again, I'm very much a tangible, like, what are their numbers? What do they look like? But there's just something, there's something about them. They kind of had a funky week last week. But I'm holding on. I'm holding out for you, Mizzou. Don't do me dirty. Don't make me regret this. But I just feel like there's something in them that's a little scrappy, that they're gonna get it figured out. So I'm excited to see this game. Right now it's 0-0 in the bottom of the first. After this, I'm gonna be hopping on probably right with you guys. It's gonna be on Flow Softball. I'm gonna be watching Sydney Supley, also another member of the Softball America Network, be calling on that game. Friday, Virginia Tech versus Alabama. So I'm excited for this one. I think I want to see what Alabama does. And I want to see them as a whole. I've only looked at their stats. I haven't watched the games. And I want to see how this team functions as a team, as a unit. And I want to see what their offense looks like. And more so, instead of run production, which is always nice, I want to see how do the 9-1-2 work together? How does the 6-7-8 work together? Because those little groups, the faster that you can get connected, the faster things start clicking into place. Like a team like Arkansas, they got it going on. So I'm really curious about that. And then you have Florida versus Arizona State. I don't know why, but I think this is going to be a really fun one. Arizona State, everybody knows they have that chip on the shoulder style of play. They're gritty, they're tough. And Florida's just dominant. They're so good. They are so good. They're so stacked defensively, pitching, offensively. I love watching them play, but I feel like this one is going to be a battle, and being able to go into that and be prepared, and as a team just kind of say, you know what, like, this is our standard, this is our level of play, let's play up here. I don't care who it is that we're playing, I don't care what the situation is like, let's play up here. I want to see that from Florida. Now Saturday, this I didn't even put any other games because I was like, this is the game. If you're going to watch any game, make sure you watch this one. It is Texas versus Arizona. Now, again, another Arizona school. I will say just something about the way that they have looked, Arizona. I think that they're going to be a little sneaky, a little bit of gamesmanship, softball IQ. They're going to have to keep Texas on their toes if they want to make this a close game. And Texas, I mean, come on. Tegan Gavon has been just phenomenal. And I just love the way that she's stepped up. And she's really led this team in the pitcher circle, yes. But just, I feel her presence a lot. And of course, Reese Atwood, I mean, she does what she does. And nobody's surprised. So Texas, whenever they go and they play Arizona, that matchup, I just want to see, same thing with Florida, that team go, this is the standard that I play at. How fast can we get there? I know it's only preseason, but how fast can we get to that high, high standard that we have? Now, that's it for my weekend matchups. Those are the ones to watch. If I had to just pick one, I think I would choose Texas versus Arizona. That one is on Saturday. It's going to be a fun one. But really quick, before we get too deep into it, I want to head back to the beginning of this week. So I mentioned briefly Bree Ellis. She was a national player of the week. I mean, obviously, no surprise. A ton of RBIs, a ton of home runs. I told you about her slugging percentage. But Bree Ellis was a national player of the week. She was a co-SEC player of the week at Arkansas. And then you had Ella Parker. She's at Oklahoma. Had a phenomenal weekend as well. And then your pitchers of the week, Sam Landry. She's at Oklahoma. And then Tegan Gavon, who just absolutely shined over at Texas. And those were kind of the awards given out. But I saw this TikTok, and I don't want to get too much into it. but I'll just briefly mention it. I saw this TikTok that Bree Ellis put out, and she was kind of making light of it. It was like a little bit of a joke, but she was just saying how 3 weeks ago, she's sitting in her locker and she's like, girl, what are you doing? Should I quit? Should I go home? Like, just leave? Should I just quit? I can't hit a ball. I'm not having fun. I'm stressed. And then a couple weeks later, here she is rolling and she's a national player of the week. And she was saying she couldn't miss even if she tried. And that feeling, I think a lot of softball players resonate with, because it's like the highs and lows of being a softball player, whether you're a hitter, whether you're a pitcher, whether you're just defense, there's a lot of highs and lows that go into playing the game. And there's a lot of highs and lows that go into outside of the game. And it doesn't really affect what people see, but it affects the player and the athlete. And it's crazy to me how somebody like Bree Ellis was being so open and so honest about it. But I think for me, having the honesty and being able to say, like, yeah, I struggle with this too, and yet here I am. And she was talking about how she wished she could have gone back and told herself 3 weeks ago, Miss Girl, you're fine. Relax. You're okay. You're going to do just fine. And I think that's the thing that I saw softball players, especially high at the elite level, it's easy to forget. Any comments, make sure to comment. I will talk about it. Any players, any games that you watched this past weekend, upcoming this past weekend, more than love to talk about it.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
But I am going to highlight a school. So something that I want to do every week is just highlight a different SEC school. As I am new to the SEC, there's a lot of learning that goes into this process. And I am on the hunt for the best SEC school. So at the end of the year, I'm going to give my ranking. And I've been talking about schools that I have been to. So the next one on my list is Texas A&M. I got to go up and visit them in the fall. I got to meet with the coaches, talk with the players. I mean, there was so much content and information and just learning that I got whenever I was there. And the coaching staff to the players, they did just such a great job of welcoming me in. You guys will see that pretty soon here on Softball America. That will be on three. There will be articles. There will be videos. Make sure you check it out. But in the meantime, I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis, because A&M's campus is pretty fun. At first glance, there's not much to it. There's a lot of concrete. So I will say, not the prettiest campus I have ever been to, but there's a lot of tradition, there's a lot of charm, and there's some good hidden gems. I'm a foodie, so I do have to start this off with Fuego Tacos. If you are ever at Texas A&M and you're going to watch a game and it's in the morning, or you're there and you're like, I'm hungry, late night, they also are open late night, you have to go to Fuego Tacos. They have the best breakfast tacos, and they're fast. That's the most important thing. Even if the line is super long, go there, trust it. It's super, super fast. Somebody said, I was once at Fuego at 3 a.m. That's what it takes. Sometimes games go long. Sometimes you're up late. Sometimes you're up early. Doesn't matter. Fuego is always there. It's a tried and true. If you're looking to kind of walk around, kill some time in between games or before a game, Century Square is my recommended place to go. And they have a lot of shopping stores, so you can walk around. It's very walkable. They have a big turf lawn. A lot of times they'll have live music, entertainment. It's just a really fun environment. And it's very family friendly, and it's just the experience. And I feel like it really encompasses the feeling of what Texas A&M is about. There's a lot of community. There's a lot of people.
good places and some cute places to shop. If you're a girl, if you're a guy, shop there anyways. Get something for your woman, for your girl. Do it. They'll thank you. Next thing is Destination Brine. So if you're not wanting to do that like town square type plaza thing, you can go to Brine. So Brine College Station. College Station is where Texas A&M is. Brine is about 5 to 10 minutes away from College Station. It's super close. They're kind of used in conjunction with one another. They're right next to each other. And Destination Brine is kind of like the downtown. It's a small, tiny town, but you think old town, tiny town, and there's little boutique shops, there's little cafes, there's restaurants on this main street, and it's very quaint. You get that small town feel, and everybody's all about Texas A&M, which I think is always fun whenever you get that school that really encompasses the cool school spirit, and that's all they're about. This one, you cannot miss. So it is probably from the softball field. It is probably about 15 minutes away, but it is a not miss. Like, you cannot skimp out on this. It's called Polite Coffee, and it's actually inside this house. It's called Kyle House. It's nestled inside this house, and throughout the coffee house, there's all these rooms where a lot of people go to study or read or just hang out for a little bit. They have outdoor seating in the spring whenever it's nice and the weather isn't cold and dreary like it is right now in Houston. But that is a place they have a variety, and they do seasonal drinks, but their coffee is fantastic. Their baristas are really friendly. They have great tea and they have good pastries. So if you're ever wanting to get some good coffee, that is a place to go to. I highly, highly recommend. If you're looking for some entertainment. So let's say it was an early game and you're like, well, let's find something to do this evening. Big Shots is, think of it as almost like a Topgolf, right? Big Shots, that is the place to go to. A lot of fun. Just like a good group environment, something fun to do. So if you're going to Texas A&M, that is my list. Please, if you have any places that you would recommend or a school that you want me to talk about next, I would love to hear it. Again, I am a foodie, so food places are recommended, but as well, I love finding out about these schools and what makes them so unique to themselves. What restaurants, what environment, what shops, what stores, all of those kinds of things that really makes the school, and it makes the environment, and it makes not just players but fans fall in love with that space. Whether you go there, whether you're not a fan, whether you're just visiting. So that's all I have to say about that. Last thing before I wrap this up and wind it up, let's do a quick vibe check. Okay. We're just vibe check really quick. We all know this. The SEC is strong. It's so strong. But I feel like within the first 2 weeks, and again, I played college softball. I know how this works. The teams that you see in preseason, whether they're really good or really bad, that is not always, more often than not, it isn't an indicator of how the rest of the season is going to go, how this team is going to go. And I feel like at this point, 2 weeks in, going on three, that the SEC, they're really good. But I feel like there's only a few teams up at the top that are very consistent. What I mean by that is, as these teams are going through preseason and they're starting to learn, okay, like, this is our lineup. This is our ace. This is our two. This is how we play whenever the game's tight. We've been losing a lot of 1-0 games. We've been blowing out teams. Whatever it is, as you start to learn your pace and style of your team for that 2025 season, there's some teams that are hot a couple of games, and then they just take the game off, and they sit back, and they're like, all right, well, the hardest thing to do as a team is be consistent. It's those little things, being able to be consistent with those early on in the season. That is what makes these teams up at the top so great. You look at Florida, and again, just the consistency all the time. You know what you're going to get whenever you play them. You look at a team like Oklahoma, you know what you're going to get whenever you play them. And even then, sometimes not always, right? This season, there's been a little bit of shaky moments. They've had a couple last weekend where it was touch and go for a second. But I think the biggest thing is being able to check yourself in the middle of a game and go, all right, time to flip it. And I think as this weekend goes, that's going to be my true indicator of those teams that are kind of on that bubble, like teams like Missouri, where I'm like, I don't know, teams like Auburn, where I'm like, I can't tell quite yet. They haven't been distinguished enough. You look at teams like Mississippi State, where they go and they get these big time wins, and then they have these losses that don't quite match up or make sense with what you're thinking. I want to see a little bit more consistency throughout the SEC. I want to see a little bit more consistency with these teams. And that comes with practice. That comes with getting those reps in and being able to, all right, like, we figured out our routine. So that is what I'm looking for this weekend. Let me know what you're looking for. Let me know who your top teams are. Let me know what schools I should do next and what food places, what restaurants, what stores, shops, entertainment I should be talking about at your school at that location. But all right, don't forget, make sure to like and subscribe to Diamond in the South. My name is Nicole Mendez. I am your host, and I will see you guys next week.